Welcome to the Organize 365 Podcast Special Teacher Podcast Edition. In this podcast series, you'll meet Jamie, the principal of Lawrenceburg Middle School, and learn how she got herself organized and all about implementing the Organize 365 Teacher Workbox in her whole building in the first Organize 365 pilot program. Jamie and I explore school organization from superintendents all the way down to teachers and personal organization. We talked through what didn't work, what we would have done differently, and how other buildings and districts can embrace the teacher workbox. So now listen in to my next conversation with Jamie. Welcome to this special edition of the Organize 365 podcast, which will also be turned into its own playlist for the teacher workbox. In this first podcast episode, I'm going to introduce you to Jamie, the principal who took a chance on us and let us do a pilot inside of her school, and also a little bit about me, my history in education as well. So my name is Lisa Woodruff. I'm the founder and creator over here at Organize 365. I started this company in 2012 when I turned 40, and that's when I left the teaching career. So I got a degree from Miami University in early childhood and elementary education. I spent 4 years teaching in the public school and then adopted my children and was a stay-at-home mom for about a decade. And then I went back into teaching for 18 months before I left teaching entirely to start my own business. And now Organize 365 teaches the skills of organization and productivity to people throughout the entire lifespan, from age 5 all the way to 105. Jamie, I'd like to introduce you to the Organize 365 podcast. You've already been on the podcast before and shared your organizational story, but here we're going to talk about your educational story. Can you just tell us a little bit about your experience in school as a child to start?
Well, I have to say school kind of came easy to me. I loved school. I was the one that was, you know, teaching all of my stuffed animals and that type of thing. So school just came easy to me, and particularly math, science, and social studies, not as much language arts, just because I would love to read, but I didn't like to necessarily do all the grammar and that kind of thing. But the spelling and that type, my mom always laughed because I totally understand your floating C. Mine was a floating B. My mom would say, like, you did so well on this, but why can't you spell? Like, I still can't spell. And students make fun of me at school sometimes because if it's a word and I'm like, I don't know how to spell it, I just ask Google. So it's still a weakness that I have. But I've always loved school. I think I knew from an early age that I was going to go into some type of education.
That's so fascinating. I didn't realize our stories were that similar. I too had all the stuffed animals. Luckily, I have a younger sister, so she had to be my willing slash unwilling student. So everything I learned at school, I came home and taught my sister. I am better at math and science. I cannot spell at all, but always wanted to be a teacher. Like always, always, always wanted to be a teacher. So tell us about your teaching experience. You were a classroom teacher before you were a principal. Tell us about the different kinds of classrooms that you were a part of.
First, I started off subbing. I would be what some people might call a workaholic. It's not something that I just say I'm passionate and that we all find things that we're passionate about. But even through college, I would sub on Fridays because I had a lighter schedule. And then towards the end, I just made sure I didn't have anything because schools always needed subs on Fridays. So I got a lot of experience with subbing. And then I did my student teaching in fifth grade and first grade.
Okay.
And then I got my first teaching job. It was all in Arkansas. So I did my original. So if you guys pick up on my accent, even though I've been in Indiana for 20 plus years, apparently I still have a Southern accent, and it was all in Arkansas was where I did my first 3 years. So my first year was middle school science. I did not have middle school science on my license. I had elementary ed, but you take whatever job you're offered, right? And I ended up loving it. The only thing I didn't love was the commute. It was an hour and 20 minutes without traffic. So it was into Little Rock, and I lived in Conway at the time. And so it was about an hour and 40 minutes during a heavy traffic day. So I also don't think that helped with my workaholicness, because at the end of the day, if I didn't finish in time to leave by about 4:40, I stayed until like 7 because I didn't want to end up in the traffic. So then my second year, I actually transferred. I still had I've always had a decent commute. I think without realizing it, my mind needed that time, because everybody's always like, oh my God, you have a 45-minute commute. And I'm like, I always have. Anyways, I took a job at an elementary. It was sixth grade, but it was at an elementary setting. So it was a completely different experience. I taught everything: PE, health, art, music. Well, I brought people in to do art and music. I should have said that at the beginning. Those are also things that I'm not good at. I love music. I just can't do anything with it. But then my third year, I taught first grade, which was a drastic change from middle school in sixth grade down to first. That was also the year I met Joe online. And so one thing led to another, and one of us had to move if our relationship was going to move forward. And so I was the one that chose to move. And so I moved to Indiana. My job there, I taught 8 more years in the science classroom of a middle school, 7th and 8th grade. I taught both. And then within there, I got a master's and finished that right when I was pregnant with Pierce, and then found out that what I wanted to do was school counseling, and found out that was a separate master's. So I got a second master's, and then I got my principal's license, because with my first master's, I only had to take like 3 classes to get my principal's license. And then I transitioned into middle school counseling. Loved it, but felt like I had a way of helping more people if I was in administration. Had a chance to move into administration, also middle school. And I did assistant principal for like 2.5 years. And then I moved to my current job, which was 10 years ago, principal of Greendale Middle School, which is in Lawrenceburg. And then while I was there, I got my superintendent's license. which I don't know that I'll ever use it. But again, it was some PD opportunities that I had. And again, I think it was like 3 or 4 classes. And so I got my superintendent's license. So,
okay. First of all, I just want to rephrase workaholicism, because I also have it too, with passion. Like when you are passionate for something and you love what you do, it does not feel like work. And because it doesn't feel like work, like, why would you go like out to the movies to watch a movie when you could keep doing your work, which is like your unique gifting and calling in the world? So I understand why you're saying workaholic, but also I think pretty much 99.9% of people get into the education profession because we have a passion for it. Like, yes, we're good at it, but also no one's getting an education for the money. You know what I mean? So there is not that you don't get paid, but I'm just saying that there is a service component there. You're drawn to education. Like, it is part of who you are. Like, it's just the way you think and you're wired and what you want to do. So I love that you mentioned that a couple of times, because that is going to be a theme as we go through this podcast series. We as teachers, or those in the education field, from teachers all the way up to administration, we feel called to where we are, and we want to be where we are. I want to be very clear. We want to be where we are. But along the way, there is so much invisible work that we need to do, and additional rules, regulations, responsibilities that come at different levels and different buildings and different states and different eras and different administrations in the White House that come our way that usually do not get removed. They just kind of get layered on, as if you're like painting a little bit more paint on the wall. But we're not taking away the first layer of paint or the 18th layer of paint under the new layer of paint. And so our passion, I think we all go into education with a passion. And I think the majority of us leave education in burnout. And somewhere between that coming in with this passion and leaving with the burnout, that's what we want to address in this pilot that we did and in this podcast series. So what happens from the passion to the burnout? And is there any way that we can lengthen the amount of time that you stay in passion remove some of the things that would cause burnout. And, you know, you and I are like, how do we change the world? As I think all teachers, like, we all have that, like, right. We can change the world one student at a time, whatever at a time. So that's the passion that we bring to this conversation in this pilot that we did. Can you also just, like, more succinctly, as if you were applying for a job interview, how many years did you spend, like, in the classroom, in counseling, as an assistant principal and as a principal? Yeah.
Okay. So in the classroom, it was 10 years because it was 3 years in Arkansas, 7 years in Indiana. And then counseling was 4.5. And then that half, I moved into assistant principal that year. So 1.5 there. I jokingly said the first time that I ever signed an 8th contract was at Lawrenceburg. Everywhere else, it was 7 years. And I always laughed and said, is that like the 7-year itch that I felt like I needed to move on or what? And then I've been the principal at Lawrenceburg for 10.
And as we've done this pilot and we've been talking to other schools, other school districts, other principals, other administrators, other teachers, other superintendents, every single person says to me, we want to talk to Jamie. So that's great, Lisa, that you are a teacher and you've created this product and you think you've solved this problem. We could care less what you have to say. We would like to talk to Jamie. Just so you know, Jamie would like to also talk to everyone. So Jamie's like, I could talk to him. Put me on a plane. Put me on a call. I'll talk to him. We could go to this conference. We could do this. Jamie and I are going to do all of those things. However, Jamie is also a full-time administrator at a real live high school or middle school. Sorry.
Middle school. Yep.
So she does have a full-time job. I don't think she sleeps. So she does have a lot of time, but she can't talk to everyone possibly in the United States. So we are creating this podcast series so you can get to know Jamie more. You could get to understand what we're doing in this pilot. So just frankly, you could do anything else you would do with the podcast where you could just listen and see, is this even anything you want to explore further for your building, for your district, for your state? That's why we're recording this. Okay, so I want to segue from the teacher to the principal part of your story, Jamie, because I left school and did not move into administration. And I think it is a unique perspective that you have in that you've been an assistant principal and that you've been a principal. I would like to talk about the differences between an assistant principal and a principal as well. And with the caveat that you're in Indiana right now, I'm in the state of Ohio. I've always lived in Ohio, taught in Ohio. My kids have been taught in Ohio. So I really only know Ohio state law. Education is done on a state by state basis. Yes. There are federal funds for children who qualify for IEPs. And there are federal rules and regulations, but there are also state rules and regulations. So both have to be met. Every state is very different. They're all very different. So if you're like, oh, I want to do that in my state, your rules and regulations may be different. But the role of assistant principal and principal, if you have both in a building, which sometimes you don't, sometimes you only have one. In Ohio, my observation was that the role of the assistant principal in the schools I was a part of was more of a discipline role, coordinating of the IEPs role. And so they were usually in those meetings and the principal was not in those meetings. That's what I observed in Ohio. What have you observed in Indiana?
Well, I'll have to say that's probably the roles. Most of the time when you have an assistant principal, their ultimate role is usually dealing with discipline of some sort. I will say that has probably increased to where both people kind of deal with it some, especially because a lot of times the IEPs are on that assistant principal as well. I did a lot of data meetings and that type of thing because I was the one dealing with the behaviors and the academics and that type of thing. And it freed the principal up to be able to run the building and do what she needed to do. But we both observed staff members. We split them up, made sure that we saw different ones each year. But I think it is very different, the roles and my responsibilities. I will say I was probably very lucky in the aspect that I have always worked well with whoever I'm with. So we were more of a collaboration. Whatever I did well, I took over. Whatever that person did well, they took over. I've always been a very strong data person, which laughs because my calendar, I make my own because I have to have paper pencil calendar. Everything else I do is digital. but I have to have a hand done calendar. So they make fun of me all the time for that at school. But I think like the role of the principal, I remember when I took the principal job, the principal, I love her. She's a great friend of mine. She had a lot of family things, a lot of health things. So there was a lot of times that I was doing both roles because she was out a considerable amount of time just because of, you know, life. So I remember when I decided to go ahead and take that leap and go for the principal's job that I was like, well, I've kind of been doing it. Oh, no, 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 no. It was not the same. It was definitely an eye-opening experience when it really did fall all on my shoulders. And I still always had that side of me that was dealing with the scheduling. Because I feel responsible for it all, I definitely keep my hands in. It does make you, I've heard you say before, like it's kind of like I'm the CEO of that building and I care for all of the kids very much. And I do think going back to what you said earlier about passion, one thing that made me think of that is everybody has, if you're a teacher, you know where your passion is. Like, yes, my degree was elementary, but once I found middle school, that was my passion. And so everybody, and just know that you might be really good at elementary, but other people are really good at middle school and other people are really good at high school. And it looks a little different at all of those levels. And so that's one experience that I've also had where I've not ever done high school, but I've had enough friends that have. But I think that you have to own where you are in the whole realm because everybody has their own role. But the principal side, I think that's when I felt like I had to get organized in both places between the house and school, because at that time, my kids, I have two. I mentioned Pierce earlier, but I had Kennedy somewhere in the middle of all those degrees too. And so when I took the principal job, Pierce was going into sixth grade and Kennedy was going into third grade. So not only did I make a jump professionally, but my kids were going into very significant different grade levels. And I had to be a mom and a principal. And so I really do have a lot.
So I think that's a great place for us to end this first podcast episode. That's your history as being a teacher. And also you added a couple kids in there, added a spouse, added all those things into the mix.
Yep.
We're going to go in the next podcast episode and we're going to talk about your personal organizing journey. And then we'll pop back out in the third episode and we'll talk about school leadership, assistant principals, principals, superintendents. How does it all fit? Having only been a teacher, you know, to me, it's just like the man behind the curtain. I don't know what they do. And I don't know what I can ask for. And I don't know what they know or don't know or what they're looking for. We're going to kind of pull back that curtain and take a look. Thanks, Jamie.
Organization is a learned skill that is taught. Teachers teach. Districts need to teach and support teachers in the additional administrative roles in education. The Teacher Workbox is a comprehensive system that does just that. First, the Teacher Workbox has a complete online course that makes visible all the invisible roles in education. And it also includes the school supplies of a physical box, 40 slash pockets, and a workbook. Additionally, the annual teacher camp in July is included in this course, in which teachers will build their box for the first time or rebuild their box each summer for the next school year. They'll set up their systems, and they'll be part of a positive online teacher community of other teachers doing the same. Then throughout the school year, from Labor Day to Memorial Day, with a four-week break in December, there will be weekly accountability groups in our teacher club from 8 to 9:30 Eastern on Thursday nights. Don't worry, if people can't attend live, there's always a replay. And this is a lifetime membership. Just like everything we learn in college when we're getting our teaching degree, the learning that comes with the Teacher Workbox will stick with teachers for the duration of their teaching career. And they will have access to the summer camp and the weekly accountability for the duration of their teaching career. That's right. One enrollment, lifetime access. Organize 365 supports teachers so they can teach and support students. We would love to partner with you in the Teacher Workbox and getting that going in your school, in your grade level, or in your district. go ahead and email customer service at organize365.com if you have any more questions or if you want directions on how to place a purchase order.